Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Walt Leger, New Orleans & Company president and CEO. Walt, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel. Thank you for having me. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, it was good to see you last week at the anniversary of the Katrina event over at the Presbyter. It was very interesting. I like the exhibit, seeing before and after pictures and things like that.
Absolutely. A powerful exhibit. Great work by the State Museum. And I thought a really compelling several days of conversations and content, but also a little bit happy to get some of that behind us. It's just such a painful reminder of so many challenging days, but hopefully turning the page and moving forward as well.
Yeah, it was, you know what I enjoyed about it is getting to talk to folks like your Kelly Schultz, and interesting story that she had, you know, and why she came back to New Orleans, and she it's kind of like the stars aligned, right? And you learn these little tidbits of things that people experience and they went through and how they recovered.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the human toll that the disaster brought upon everyone in our community is unbelievable. But it is amazing to hear kind of the little moments that impacted people's motivation to go all in. And I think a lot about how for 20 years there have been a lot of people who have been grinding day in and day out from the moment of the storm to today to just try to make this place a better community for everyone. And I think that's something to be celebrated as well, and recognize that that challenges continue to exist, but that there's a great dedication to our community, and a lot of people have put their blood, sweat, and tears into trying to rebuild it and build it stronger and better.
So, Walt, we just finished with the Labor Day weekend, right? And I guess we say that Labor Day is kind of the beginning of the fall season. Let's go back, talk about what we've experienced thus far in 2025.
Yeah, I mean, 2025 has been a year, hasn't it? I mean, it started off just dramatically in January. Tragic attack of January 1, and in some ways our community really showed just how strong it is and rallied together and moved forward with a great Sugar Bowl, and ultimately led to massive conventions coming into town soon thereafter. We had the huge snowstorm, the Super Bowl with 6,000 media coming to town, Mardi Gras. Unbelievable, really successful events, not just from an economic impact statement kind of point of view, but also just earned media that was exponential for our community, and a number of other great conventions, conferences, and meetings as well. And then kind of pounding our way through the summer. As we're wrapping up Labor Day, we've just kind of finished that month of culinary that you and I have talked about. Highly yep. successful this year. Incredible impact for restaurants locally. I mean, commend the listeners and the people in the region that really turned out to support their favorite restaurants at a time when they needed it the most. And excitingly, many of our partners have extended the culinary menus into September. I'm looking at a list of about, 15 or 20 restaurants that are extending, which is really exciting. It means it's resonated with people and people are continuing to ask about it. And that's a good thing as well.
Yeah, I was able to take advantage of it many times during the culinary season. Always enjoy it. I'm one of those, Walt, I do the culinary menu, but then I do the add-ons.
they're
kind of
too.
The must-haves like from the traditional menu that I, if I'm here, I just don't go ahead and do that as well.
it's a lot of fun. Well, you don't want to miss your favorites.
Man. Right,
and I
exactly.
think, that's kind of part of that's the point, right? We want to get people in with the exciting menus, but we hope that they'll expand their reach a little bit beyond the two courses and enjoy what they've come to love at those places. And the good thing is it continues to be a really successful event for so many of our establishments that are kind of pushing through some of the more challenging times of the year. And excited to see them extending it into September as well, so more people can enjoy it and get in there and check it out as the weather gets a little bit cooler and we become a little bit more inviting.
Yeah, it looks like about half the list is extending, some through the first week, some through half of the month, and others through the entire month, and some are. Apologize for the technical difficulty, folks. Seems we lost connection with everything, but it's okay. We're back on, and when we left, we were talking about how some of the restaurants and culinary will continue their offerings, some through the first week of September, others through the halfway point of September through the 14th or the 15th, and others for the entire month of September. We're visiting with Walt Leger, the president and CEO at New Orleans and Company. And Walt, I don't know if you heard me, but I wanted to pivot. Tommy Tucker was interviewing Joe Geruso this morning about the city budget. I talked about that with Joe last week, but he brought up something this morning that was really, to me, very troublesome, because it's a great leverage point for us, is that they still haven't figured out the economic impact of the Super Bowl, not even as it relates to some of their tax collections. They're saying they're not sure they saw a bump. I don't know what all of that means, but and I know there are a lot of other intangible benefits to the Super Bowl, but I don't know. It just kind of irritates me that we're not on this. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, Newell, I think that one of the challenges has been revenue estimating conference at, you know, either at the state level or at the local level. They make estimations and predictions about what kind of impacts they're going to see, and then then they have the ability to go back and make a determination about how accurate those expectations and suppositions were. I'm actually kind of digging into that same question today as well. I'd seen somebody post a comment, and it triggered some thoughts for me. And so I've been kind of going down that rabbit hole looking for that impact as well. I think what's very clear is that there was substantial impact. Whether or not it meets up with the estimations, I'm not sure, because I wasn't really engaged in what the city was looking at in the months leading up to it. But certainly I know they were looking at events like the Taylor Swift concert and other big major events to make some suppositions about what kind of impact they could expect to have. And as you mentioned, there was clearly substantial revenue impacts to both the state and the city as it relates to economic activity. Visitor and vendor spending estimated at $658 million. Taxes generated local and state of about $82.7 million. So, you know, I think we've got to look at those collections specifically in that time frame and get a real kind of impact from the city on what they saw. But as you know, tax collections are a little delayed. They also are contingent upon enforcement sometimes. And, you know, I think we've got to ask tough questions about how that's happening so that we make sure we are collecting the revenue that is due. And then to your other point, we also know 130 million people or so watch the broadcast. And during that broadcast, I believe the 30-second spots that were being sold for commercials were $7 million. So, yeah. You know, you start to translate the exposure that the city earned through hosting the event, as well as on the digital platforms, the 6,000 media personnel who are in town writing stories, et cetera. And I mean, it's clearly tens of millions of dollars, if not more, of direct earned media exposure. And I think beyond that, reputationally, the cost is, you know, the impact is massive insofar as other customers that we work with feel like we are a major league city, one that is obviously capable of hosting their 25,000 person convention if we can produce a Super Bowl that was so well orchestrated and received. So, you know, I think the impact is exponential for those types of purposes, but certainly the direct spending and the impact on revenue generation is substantial.
Yeah. And my only point is how long have we been doing this?
And we can, right. It, you know, well, you collected taxes for a long time. You, exactly. I, you know, we've talked about it you're an expert at how that process works at the local level. And it certainly should be easier to really talk about the impact of an event like that. I think we recognize there is a cost associated with putting on an event like that for local and state government. Sure. But there's also a dramatic return on that investment that accrues to the benefit of other aspects of government, whether it's the school board or whether it's the city hall itself, of course, the state of Louisiana and a number of other recipients of those tax dollars. So, yeah, I agree. I wish we had a little firmer grip on that. And I think that's something that we ought to continue to dig deeper in. We recently supply as much data as we can to the city so that they can analyze year-round impact of visitation on revenue generation. And ultimately, they've got to do the best they can to estimate that impact. And then we've got to come back and measure how good of a job they're doing at estimating it so that we can, you know, determine whether there's truth to that estimation or not.
Well, one of the things that I talked about in my monologue this morning was that, you know, human nature is if you don't get the information and it's delayed and then you start making excuses, you know what seeps in, cynicism, skepticism, you know, and it's hard to beat that back. I mean, you really want to get out in front of your game, right? And be able to report it out. Information is power. And the more transparent, the more timely that you can give it, give it out, the more meaningful it is. These are leverage points that we, instead of hitting a base hit, we ought to be hitting home runs with Taylor Swift's and Super Bowls and, you know, whatever else is out there. I mean, I made the comment, you guys work incredibly hard getting all of this here. This is a kind of the follow-up cleanup, you know, that the city has solely within their responsibility because, you know, this is protected information. They're the only ones that have it. It's not like anybody else can go get it. You know, we got to be on it, give that information out to clean it up in a meaningful, winning way.
Yeah, these are the kind of partnerships that you really need in a community, right? I mean, mm-hmm. we don't expect the city to go out and hustle these events, manage and orchestrate the events, but you know there is some expectation on the back end that they help, you know, collect the revenue and report out on it in partnership. So I hope that we can continue to improve that process as we go forward because I do think it's important. I think the data, the big picture data, speaks for itself about the impact of these types of events. But it would be great to have a level of additional transparency and reporting on that, so that there could be increased trust and belief that these events have a real, significantly positive impact on our community. And I think we've got to keep working on those things and creating dashboards for people to be able to see it publicly and things like that.
Well, you don't want it to seep into other areas, right? Whether it's some economic development package or something that you guys put together with right. One of the economic development groups. Because, you know, and once you lose, and you know this as a former public official, once you lose the public's trust on something, you got to work three times as hard to get it back. So you don't want to lose it in the first instance.
Yeah, and I think that economic impact studies are challenging to begin with, right? There's mm-hmm. there are a lot of assumptions that have to be made. These are pretty scientific in the way that they're put together by economic experts, and I think that generally there is some skepticism about them. And so, to your point, when you've got the hard data that you can point to, it's even more important to highlight that and share it. It's something that just adds to the frustration, you know, I mean, and I think that we, you know, far too often in the last 6 to 8 months, you've heard the public complaining, oh, if only we could deliver services like this when we don't have a Super Bowl. And I think that's a 100% reasonable expectation for our community and for the people of our community to have. And we've all got to keep working to try to do that kind of thing. I think we can all recognize there's a need to, you know, when you've got company coming over, you clean up the house really quickly, right? And you try to make it as presentable as you can. That's fine. Everybody understands that. But that doesn't mean you don't keep it clean the rest of the year either, right? And I think we've all got a desire for that to get better. And there's a lot of people working to try to improve that situation too. Takes a lot of effort, a lot of collaboration, and we need to keep pushing to ensure that we get the results that we all deserve here. I mean, our goal at the end of the day is to drive economic impact to our community, to strengthen our community. And we don't mean that to be just when we have a conference here or a convention here or the Super Bowl here. We want that to be every day, because we really believe that making this community a better place to live and work helps to make it a great place to visit. And if we put the community first, then the results will follow. And that's our approach. And I think there's momentum, but there's a lot of work to do.
I made the observation, and I was trying to link all of this together, right, about you coming on and talking about the fall season in my monologue this morning. And I talked about how important that is to the city in revenue generation, because what y'all work hard to bring here is something really unique, a new wallet every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
A person that spends that doesn't consume a lot of services, right? And
right,
so,
right.
You know, the delta between those two is huge. And it's I'll take that spend every day of the week, right?
Yeah, I refer to that as everybody's favorite tax dollar, somebody else's from somewhere else.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's one thing to get your tax dollar. It's another thing to get my tax dollar when I go out and spend it. And all of our residents who go out, you know, we're encouraging them to go to the restaurant and support culinary and other events. And that's important. It's critical. But it's a whole lot better tax dollar when it's somebody coming from Texas or Arkansas or Mississippi or Chicago or L.A. They're coming here. They're leaving their tax dollars behind. Then they're going home. And, you know, we want them to come back, of course, but like you're suggesting, they are consuming less of the resources that the community needs to sustain itself, and yet they're leaving behind dollars that impact infrastructure, public safety, public education, so many other things. So, yes, it's critical that we keep doing that, especially in a city of our size that that has cultural offerings and, food offerings and music offerings and generally quality of life offerings that really are substantially beyond comparable cities of our size across this nation and probably across the world.
Yeah, no doubt. And talking about that, your team just returning from the Louisiana Travel Summit in Lake Charles, and I'm sure there were some very interesting conversations held there.
Well, we certainly enjoy being able to spend time with colleagues of ours around the state that are doing this work for their community. So, you know, I mean, there are, I believe, 38 other convention and visitors bureaus or tourism commissions around the state that are all working to impact their communities in the way that we're working to impact our city and region. And yet they do that in different ways. I mean, their communities are of different sizes, have different types of attractions and different draws. And yet we all have the same mission, which is adding value to the community by attracting, tax dollars from people from outside of those communities. And so we spent some time with the Lieutenant Governor over there as he works to promote our state across the nation and globally. We spent time with our colleagues and all the other communities across the state, talking about how we can work together to drive, you know, more international visitation and future promotion and marketing opportunities to bring people to Louisiana and bring people to our city to better serve our communities. And so that was time well spent with really dedicated people who care deeply about our state and who work every day to try to be really strong ambassadors for the culture that makes us so unique.
Anything unique or challenging that you heard there that you haven't heard before from folks, or something that they're seeing in the market?
I think more like trying to just embrace opportunities for working together collaboratively. You know, I think we've all recognized that as travel trends change and people are looking for broader opportunities, figuring out ways for the media that we bring into the city to be able to spend time in Jefferson and in, on the North Shore and in Lafayette and Baton Rouge and tell bigger stories about the state of Louisiana, the better off we all are. Little bit of conversation about the passenger rail service that's expanding to our west. I mean, I'm sorry, to our east over into Mississippi and Alabama, and the desire to keep finding ways to expand that connectivity inside of our state. But also recognizing that, that even that expansion creates value because we've now got partners in Mississippi and Alabama who are promoting internationally that people should come to New Orleans because they recognize if they can get them to New Orleans, then they may have a chance of getting them on a train over to the Mississippi Gulf Coast or to Alabama. And ultimately, that will hopefully provide a more robust visitor experience for those international visitors that allow them to spread out into other parts of Louisiana as well and bring value to those communities. So I like the idea that we have more people, you know, singing from the same hymnal and saying New Orleans is a really compelling international destination for people to come to because of the unique experiences you can have here, but also in the surrounding areas outside of New Orleans as well. And that's particularly interesting in a year where we're leading up to the FIFA World Cup and other major international events that will be occurring in cities like Dallas and Atlanta and Miami, which are not very far from us. And people are going to be here for, you know, 3-4 weeks for soccer matches, but they'll also have some downtime when they could hop on a plane and come over our way and hopefully explore New Orleans and Louisiana and get to see what we have to offer as well. So great opportunities coming our way.
And talking about that and that international flavor, big announcement last week, LIV Golf will bring a new professional golf tournament to the city. 14 stops will be one of them.
Yeah, it is exciting. You know, I mean, I think we had an opportunity to work with this organization, and the governor's been a real leader in trying to attract that event here to Louisiana, which we always like to see. You know, I mean, we want our top elected official in the state to be someone who's also selling our state and promoting it and trying to bring these kind of opportunities. So we're appreciative of that partnership. And I think it does bring us an event in late June, which is a time of year where we certainly are looking for activity. It, you know, creates a meaningful opportunity for us to host another event that will get attention, but also bring in a different, you know, type of fan who we maybe have not been able to bring in over the years for different types of events. And, you know, I think it does add to the sort of rich history of golf in our city and in our region. Obviously, we continue to celebrate the PGA Tour stop with Zurich Classic at TPC, which is in April, and has been an incredible community partner. I mean, they've recently put out some data about the impact that they've had on the community through charitable giving, which is really extraordinary, and they're an incredible organization.
$3.6 million
it was a year.
An incredible year. Yeah, I mean, incredible year.
Yeah. So, I mean, this adds a different sort of flavor to that golf fan in our region and at a different time of year that that also purports to have significant tens of millions of dollars in economic impact for our community and support job opportunities as well. So, you know, as we've talked about a lot, we're seeking to bring in a diverse array of events of all kinds at all times of year to be able to create as steady a flow of visitation as we can so that the economy stays stable in the hospitality and travel sector. And this is another opportunity. I thought the comments made by Bubba Watson were particularly poignant when he talked about him being from the Pensacola area and having played golf a lot in our city and in our state since he was a junior golfer, and how this is ultimately the closest he'll ever really get to a major event near his home. And, you know, the Gulf Coast is connected in a really special way, and this kind of reinforces that. So excited to hear the great comments about New Orleans and the Gulf Coast connectivity that'll bring some more people in at a time of year where we can use it.
And it looks like we're going to get some upgrades to the Bayou Oaks course as well. So we end up with another signature course in the aftermath of this. And this event will take place on June 26th or June 28th. We'll see how they keep their hands dry during that point in time.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a little warm. But yeah, to your point, the infrastructure investment in the course is critical. And that's exciting. Yeah. That obviously remains here year round for us. So, you know, that those upgrades are needed, welcome. And as we continue to look at the great opportunities that City Park has with the launch of their new master plan, you know, another great addition to an already amazing park in our city, something that I know we're all very proud of.
I'm a big concert goer, so we were online thinking that a while back, thinking we were going to get tickets to Billie Eilish. We were wrong. That concert sold out really quick. We do have our Paul McCartney tickets.
Good.
We'll figure out a way to get to Billie Eilish. But I just love the fact that they're bringing a bunch of great concerts. I just love music, all genres of music, and I just enjoy seeing it live, quite frankly.
We're seeing a major trend in the travel industry towards live events. And as concerts and other live performance events, whether they be sporting or music, continue to drive huge impact for communities, it is exciting to see the Superdome, the Smoothie King Center, and the team over there at LSED continuing to aggressively pursue these opportunities for us and bringing in top level talent, you know, this fall, but also really around the year round. And so it's exciting to see that the big name talent and stars continue to want to be here in New Orleans and recognize that once again, while it's not the biggest market, it is a really meaningful one for music and for live performance in particular. And so very exciting to see those things coming together for the fall as well.
And I think she's playing two nights, if my memory serves me correct, huh? Both in November.
November 7th and November 8th. Yeah, Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, sold them both out, right? Which is that's wonderful. And McCartney's on October 29th. All right, we got to get to a break. When we come back, we're going to go through this lengthy list of things to do in the fall. You want to get to their New Orleans & Company's website because you want to get it on your calendar. There is a lot to do. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, you want to visit New Orleans & Company's website, neworleans.com. And what you're going to find there is an incredible website that spells all of this out. For example, in September, the major conventions coming here. Online News Association, September 9 through 14, 2,100 attendees. Emergency Nurses Association, September 16th through the 19th, 3,500 attendees. ACES International, they're huge, September 28th through October 1st, over 20,000 security leaders and practitioners from every industry in the security field. They're coming here. In October, the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, from October 9th to the 12th, they're only 11,000 members worldwide. American Society of Landscape Architects, October 10th through the 13th. Society of Women Engineers, October 19th through the 25th, and it goes on through November, on and on and on. Sounds like a great lineup. We're visiting with Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company. You know, love that lineup. And then we have NOLA by NOLA that you guys sponsor from September 25th through October 5th coming up in the music world as well.
Yeah, the fall certainly starts to get busy, and we're thrilled to see that, and excited to have NOLA by NOLA come back. Music Month is a month we celebrate in October. I think we all recognize music's critically important and something we celebrate every day in New Orleans, but it gives us a chance to sort of lean into it and really push that out globally and nationally to remind people just how special it is for us. But to your point about the meetings, those are just a few kind of highlights of meetings happening in the fall. It's our team's brought nearly 1,000 meetings to the city that will occur in 2025. And that's not to even highlight the work that our hotel partners and other venues have booked directly on their own. So, you know, some of these meetings are relatively small. A lot of them are bigger, like the ones you've kind of mentioned. But ultimately, as we've talked about a lot, these meetings form such a strong foundation of the visitor economy in our community because they touch so many local businesses when they're here, whether it's transportation, catering, restaurant buyouts, and oftentimes all the ancillary events that happen around these types of events where exhibitors are hosting sponsored dinners and other smaller parties and events that spring up around it. So the impact's just far and wide, and ultimately really creates that foundation of steady business that we need to keep things moving.
So I was looking at your website, and from now to right about Christmas or right before Christmas, there is a free event to attend, and a lot of weekends, there's more than one, every weekend between now and Christmas. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. No, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Yeah. I did a call earlier today with UNESCO Creative Cities Network and leaders around the country that are involved in the World Heritage Sites and the other creative cities that have been identified. And just the reality is, like, we are a walking UNESCO example of celebration of culture, food, music, architecture, on and on and on. There's so many different ways we could plug in there, but these festivals are a real celebration of all those things in one. I mean, they're artistic, they're food-based, they're music-based, they're community-based, they're great congregations of people doing really good things. And many of them, many of them are supporting incredible charitable and, you know, philanthropic work as well. And so it just resonates so much throughout the community, certainly gives people a great thing to do. And, like, you don't, what's tough about all the festivals is you've also got college football with Tulane and LSU and others, and you've got the Saints. And I mean, it's just overwhelming with the amount of opportunities people have to be together and celebrate and have a good time.
Well, I wanted to finish with this. I know that you're in contact with the U.S. Travel Association all the time. There was a whole host of stories about air traffic controllers, ATCs. Where do we stand on that? It doesn't seem like we're hearing about, as many issues day after day after day as we were roughly 3 months ago.
Yeah, I think there's still a number of, you know, disruptors out there that are impacting, you know, the traveling public. But certainly things have quieted down. I think what's also happened is U.S. Travel and other organizations that we work with have developed strategies to engage in meaningful ways that are not necessarily the most public. You know, just trying to have these smaller conversations and work through some of these issues behind the scenes. I think you've also seen the administration really lean into the opportunity that international travel will present in 2026 with World Cup, and then of course in 28 with the Olympics. And so seeing some of these agencies settle in and start addressing some of the things that have been challenges over the years. And so there's a reason for optimism as it relates to visa processing. There's reason for optimism as it relates to inbound international travel, and hopefully just a continued sort of stabilization of some of the things that have been disruptive over the months. But in general terms, it's been a really challenging year for travel. I think 2024 was a really, you know, good one. And so with some of the economic uncertainty, it was just some headwinds that have caused a little retraction. But this industry is highly resilient. People desperately want to get on the road and travel and want to find ways to do that and connect. And so I think in general terms, we just remain really optimistic about what the future opportunities for travel are. And in a city like ours, where the convention calendar does have such an impact, we're working really hard to build those future years so that the foundation is there for success.
Walt, as always, I love this industry. I love the work that you guys and your team that y'all do, and I love the outcomes. And you know, it's all about the outcomes, and it's success after success after success. Congratulations to you and your team, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much. Always a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
All righty. That's Walt Leger, President and CEO of New Orleans & Company. We will be right back. Check in with Scoot when we return. Stay with us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, there's a lot of stuff coming out from the survivors of that whole Epstein thing. They're actually talking and naming one big name. We'll talk about that coming up this afternoon.
Scoot's headed your way. Stay tuned, folks. Hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll see you again in the morning.